We're going to, you know, look at a few chapters, but briefly, and look a little more closely at section or portion in chapter 23. If you turn to Jeremiah 23, beginning with verse 1, I'll read a portion here. Jeremiah 23, verse 1. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel against the shepherds who feed my people. You have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. But I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I have driven them, and bring them back to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking, says the Lord. In verse 5, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness, Lord Tsidkenu. Verse 7, therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that they shall no longer say, as the Lord lives, who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives, who brought up and led the descendants of the house of Israel from the north country, and from all the countries where I had driven them. They shall dwell in their own land. Lord, we again turn to you and thank you and praise you. And we ask, Lord, that you minister to us, to your sheep, feed your sheep. Strengthen us, Lord. Fill us. Nurture. Bless. We turn to you, Lord. Commit ourselves to you afresh. In Jesus' name, amen. Jeremiah, continuing, beginning in chapter 21, I'm not going to read a lot of this, but just kind of cruise through it. In 21, the siege begins. The prophesied siege that Jeremiah has been talking about. Now, Nebuchadnezzar musters his troops, and they can visibly see them surrounding Jerusalem. It's no longer a warning. Now it's a manifestation. The siege has began. King Zedekiah has a last-ditch effort, sends Pashur, this is a different Pashur, to Jeremiah, and he seeks a word from the Lord. Inquire from Jeremiah, get a word from the Lord to turn things around. You know, perhaps God will do a miracle, change everything, make everything better, fix everything, as he sends Pashur to Jeremiah. But the Lord answers Jeremiah through the word of the Lord when Pashur comes. It wasn't the word that he desired. Jeremiah prophesied to King Zedekiah. It's too late, man. Judgment, doom is sealed for Jerusalem. The fate of Jerusalem is sealed. Chapter 22, he starts with Zedekiah, a word to Zedekiah, and he continues the message to the kings, to the house of David, to the kings of Judah. Three kings are mentioned, and we'll look at them real quick later. But in chapter 23, he warns, this morning we read the passage, he warns of false prophets, and then he gives his final answer, the only one way. This morning, you know, Zedekiah came to Jeremiah with really a false pretense. He came to Jeremiah saying, hey, seek the Lord for me. But he was really turning to Zedekiah, or Jeremiah, with the wrong heart, not according to God and God's way. He was seeking the Lord, you might say, but he really wasn't seeking the Lord. All he really wanted was a miracle. See, the siege began, trouble starts, the problem happens. Many people start to think about God then. Zedekiah has been, you know, had access to Jeremiah and the Word of God. He could inquire of the Lord all along. But he waits until the siege comes, not really putting stock in God's will, God's way, or God's Word. And this morning, you know, we're going to look at really seeking God. And I've been on the internet looking at Bible software this week. So I'm going to, you know, make my points. What's the answer to find God? What's the proper address to come to God? Zedekiah didn't have the proper address. He was, God's given the people warning, if you turn to me, if you would repent, I'll stay this siege off. It won't even happen. You'll dwell in this land safely. But they didn't heed God or his word or his way. They sought God the wrong way. So first point, way, the right way, seeking God. Seeking God with a false pretense is the way Zedekiah came, the wrong way, not rightly. But, God's not someone we can call on as if he's at our disposal. Only when times get rough, when the problem happens, our health fails, then we turn to God. That's not God's desire. God desires us to come to him all the way, the right way. The answer comes to Zedekiah, and it wasn't the answer that he was seeking. I'm not going to turn things around, Zedekiah. On the contrary, he tells him, I'm not going to fight for you, but against you. It's too late, Zedekiah. You know, the fate of Jerusalem is sealed. Then, turning from Zedekiah, he gives a word through Jeremiah to the people. And with this word, he gives the people a choice, an alternative. Notice in verse 8, chapter 21, he says, now you shall say to this people, thus says the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. Way. Set before us the way of life and the way of death. He gives an alternative, a choice. You know, God's put a computer right up here. And we're to exercise and utilize, you know, the smarts and the wisdom and God's organ that he gave us to make the right decision. He told the people that you have a choice. There's an alternative. In verse 8, you have the way of life, the way of death. Two courses of action with two results. He went on to explain in verse 9. He explains God giving his answer, accompanying his offer, two ways set before him, make a choice. He explains in verse 9, he who remains in this city shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. But he who goes out and defects to the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, who besiege you, you shall live, and his life shall be as a prize to him. The offer, or the alternatives, were broke down this way. If you come against my way, because my way is judgment for the city, then and stay in the city, you're going to die from slaughter or battle and pestilence, disease. Death is one course of action or one path to take against God's way, against God's will. Or if you hearken my word, take the way, the right way, the right way, is to hearken my word and submit to my will. Give yourselves up to the Babylonians and you'll live. Not only will you live, your life will be a prize to you. If you go my way, if you submit to my will, the result won't be death, it'll be life. He gives them an option two courses of action, then he explains it. If you stay against God's will, you'll die. You surrender, you live. Now, this isn't a universal application, universal app. It's not something that, you know, we can look at this illustration and, hey, this is something that applies to us weekly or yearly. I think this is one of the big events that it represents that happens to us maybe once in a lifetime. The children of Israel only went into captivity in Babylon once. It was a big event. It was written about a lot, prophesied about a lot. A big lesson was the result of that event. I was reading this and I'm thinking, you know, I can relate to a big event that took place in my life. Back, you know, in 1990, I, you know, went through some, I'm not going to give you all the details, but I just want to say that I almost knowingly, willingly came against God's will. In a course of action, I took a course of action. And on that path, man, it was a terrible couple of years for me. Through that course of action and path, the Lord showed me a lot of stuff about myself. But he was fighting against me. He wasn't going with me. I wasn't going with him. I was against his will. Kind of represents maybe something like that, one of them episodes in our life where we go through. Maybe you haven't gone through. But for me, I went through one big experience. But it's not a universal experience, but the principle is applies. Going against God's way, will, and word will result in death. Going with God's will, way, and word results in life. Your life will be a prize to you. Some have to learn the hard way. This was a big lesson for the nation Israel. And, you know, I learned the hard way. And yet, he gives this option before them. Two ways. WWW. You can go the right way, you can go the wrong way. The next W is his word. In chapter 21, at the end, verse 11 through the whole chapter of 22 is really God's message to the kings. It's a message of condemnation. It's a message of judgment. And through it, you know, we can really, you know, see that no one is above or exonerated from God's word. He addresses the kings in their position. Don't fool yourself. Really is the bottom line. Don't think that you're out of, you know, my accountability. Look in verse 21. As he addresses the kings and the officials and the subjects of the kings. In verse 21, chapter 21. Chapter 22, verse 21. I spoke to you in your prosperity. But you said, I will not hear. This has been your manner from your youth, that you did not obey my voice. In this, you know, picture, prosperity is when things were going really well. God spoke to you. He's addressing a king personally, but we're going to look at it, you know, apply it to all of us. When things were going well, man, the, you know, prosperity, the income was there, and while you prospered, you know, things were just hunky-dory in your life. I spoke to you. I tried to get your attention. But you wouldn't listen to me, is what he's condemning them for. And it was the manner in which your whole life is just the way you are. You're not listening to me. One of the, you know, pictures is, you know, you don't fool ourselves that we can be in a position or a station and a place in our life that we're exonerated from God's will or word or way. We're held accountable always, no matter where we're at. He talks to the kings. You know, he addresses the king, you know, while they prospered, during a time of ease, one Bible translation puts it. Look in verse 23, chapter 22. addressing the kings still. O inhabitant of Lebanon, make your nest in the cedars. How gracious will you be when pangs come upon you like the pain of a woman in labor? Nesting like a bird in the trees of Lebanon. Don't think you're in a position above. You know, higher above the, you know, accountability of God's word, God's way, God's will. As he addresses the kings, you know, and he addresses them in their, you know, he tells some of you, you're in your paneled houses. Don't think that you're free from my will, my word, my way. Then in verse 9, he tells them what they did wrong. He told them that, you know, they didn't obey him, that they broke the covenant that God made with the nation Israel. They were guilty of breaking the covenant of the law made with the old, you know, in the Old Testament with the nation Israel. The kings were guilty of breaking it. In verse 3, God told them they were called to be righteous. They broke the law. You're not in a place exonerated from my will. We'll never be in a place, you know, free from accountability to God. We're in too deep. We know him. We've accepted him. Now it's his way, his will, his word. The rest of our life we're accountable to. He brings it to their attention. He tells them they're called to be righteous. They broke the covenant. They broke the covenant of the law. Today we have the covenant of grace in the New Testament. But look in verse 30 as he wraps up this chapter or this condemnation or judgment against the kings. Thus says the Lord, write this man down as childless, a man who shall not prosper in his days, for none of his descendants shall prosper sitting on the throne of David and ruling anymore in Judah. He addressing the three kings, Shalom, and Jeconiah, and another one. He addresses in this chapter, but he finishes this chapter with, you know, like an official note. Write this down in the registry. Take this down. You know, God keeps a set of books. And he's meaning business with the kings. He means business with us. He takes our name down in a book when we accept him. He makes an entry in the Lamb's Book of Life that we're saved. He keeps these sets of books. Here he's telling Jeremiah, write this down, enter it into the books as an official judgment against the kings who broke my covenant, called to be righteous, didn't heed my voice, my word. W, way, word. And the last W is will. Way, word, and will. In chapter 23, we read this morning of a warning. Beware of false shepherds. Look at the end of verse 10 in chapter 23. At the end of verse 10, he describes their course of life is evil, and their might is not right, these false shepherds. They're on the wrong road. And if you follow them, it leads to death. For there's only two courses of life. One leads to life, one leads to death. We have an option. Beware of false shepherds. They'll take you in the wrong direction. Is what he's saying. Their course is evil. Their might is wrong. The spirit in which they operate is the wrong spirit. It's not him. It's not Christ. Not the Holy Spirit. They're operating according sometimes to a supernatural spiritual experience, but not according to Christ. He said, beware of false shepherds. They'll take you off course. God's way, God's word, God's will. The Bible tells us that it's God's will that none should perish, but that all repent and come into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's what it tells us in the New Testament. That's God's will. That all men would get on the right road, that none would perish, none would end in the result of death, that all would make the right choice with the computer he gave us, with a heart he gave us, with the will he gave us. And we would make the right choice, stay on the right road, way, will and word with him. Make the right choice. Repent. Where does it discover God's will? The Bible tells us how he reveals it to us by his Spirit. But notice in verse 5, chapter 23. I like this because in the midst of all this judgment, he gives a prophecy that, hey, one day, it's too late, judgment's coming, and one day, this is what's going to happen. In verse 5, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness, Lord Tzidkenu. Now everyone, hands down, knows and accepts that all the scholars, biblically, Jews and Christian scholars, you know, point to this verse as speaking of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Now, it's kind of interesting that, you know, in the midst of all this judgment and darkness and bleak doom, he gives this prophecy of Jesus Christ. He kind of shines brighter in the dark. And he always does for us, too. But notice how he describes it, and we can, you know, kind of like go with the explanation or the reason why he's referred to as the Messiah. He's capitalized. Notice branch, capital B. Have you ever heard of a branch being capitalized? We got a branch in our backyard that's capsized. And during the storm last week, we have a big weeping willow in our neighbor's yard. Three times it's taken our power out. The branches, and it takes our power out. Hangs over our line. This time, I was telling the linesman, I said, man, this is the third time this has happened. And he says, it ain't going to happen no more. The whole tree came down. It ain't going to come down no more. But that branch, you know, that's not capitalized. This symbol, this branch is capitalized. It's speaking of the Messiah. The branch, the Lord, our righteousness, this prophecy regarding Jesus. Notice in verse 7, he gives this prophecy and he says that, you know what, at the end of this lesson, you're no longer going to attribute and reference, I like this, no longer going to, you know, reference, hey, God delivered us out of Egypt. Your reference and testimony is going to be updated. Now you're going to reference the living God as the one who delivered us from the north country out of Babylon. It's like an updated experience having with God. You know, the most recent, current experience. You know, you're going to call upon him. You're going to talk about him. Oh, he brought us into Babylon. He taught us a lesson. You know that the reason he brought the Jews, Israel, into Babylon and allowed Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians to take him into captivity was because of the measure and degree of their idolatry. And even today, the Jews learn their lesson well, no longer, you know, profane in an idolatrous manner. Learning a hard lesson. New updated app to really testify of the Lord, what he's did in our heart, in our life, according to his will, according to his way, according to his word, www. So what's the proper address? www.JesusChrist, his death, burial, resurrection. See, that's where we find him now. His death, the cross, Calvary. You seek him with the right attitude and heart, the right will, the right way, according to his word, his way, you know, his word, we find him. We find him at the right address with the right attitude, coming the right way. WWW, we discover God's will at the cross, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Lord, our righteousness. You will call him now the Lord, our righteousness. You know, they're accountable. in chapter 21 and in chapter 22, the Lord laid charge on the kings, on Judah, on Jerusalem, that they are to be just, that they are to be righteous. He lays that same charge to us. We're to be righteous. We're to do what's right. You know, that's being on the right road, the right way, the right will, the right according to His Word. The Lord, our righteousness. There'll be a day coming in the future. This is a prophecy of the nation Israel when Jesus returns and the nation will be forgiven their sins. And now they'll look at Jesus and with their sins forgiven. And they'll say, oh, the Lord, our righteousness. But see, today we have that privilege and ability, right address, coming to the cross. He's our righteousness. He fulfills the righteousness that God holds or charges us, requires of us. The Lord, our righteousness. The Bible tells us that we lost our righteousness through a process of another. It was imputed to us, our lost righteous condition. The Bible tells us that when Adam fell because of sin and disobedience, we were imputed unrighteousness. We're unrighteous. We're on the wrong road, heading in the wrong direction with the wrong result, leading to death. The wages of sin are death. All imputed. But the Bible tells us of the Lord our righteousness in the New Testament, that the same way we lost our righteousness, we gain it back. It's imputed to us. The Lord becomes our righteousness, the Bible tells us. Abraham was accounted righteous by faith. We believe in Him. We come to the cross. We believe in Jesus, His death, burial, resurrection. And the Lord imputes to us righteousness through the action of another, Jesus, the Lord, our righteousness, Lord Tsidkenu. He places us on the right road. It's who we discover. If we come to God seeking His will the right way, according to His Word, according to His will, we find Him. We find the Lord our righteousness today. We find that the righteousness that He requires of us is imputed to us through the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. He makes us righteous. On the right road, finding Him, discovering His will, we gain our righteousness through Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us of the new covenant He keeps. You know, these kings were charged with breaking the covenant. Now we look to a new one, a new king that kept His covenant. When He instituted, you know, communion, He said, this is the new covenant in the shedding of My blood for the forgiveness of sins. New covenant He keeps, as it's imputed to us, the keeping, the obedience of the new covenant through the action of another, the Lord, our righteousness, the right way, the right word, the right will. We discover Jesus. We come in the right address. We find Him. No one's deprived of finding Him. He seeks all man, His will, that we would repent, coming to a saving knowledge of Him, discover His will, His way, His life, His the right course that leads to life, grace and faith, being on the right course according to His Word, the rule book. I was reading about Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to Him seeking the right address and seeking, you know, the right road, the right course, seeking life, knowing Jesus had the answer. But Jesus said a couple things to him that's real interesting. He said, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. You have to be born again even to see heaven, get a glimpse of it. Then He went on to explain after Nicodemus said, you know, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter his mother's womb again and be born? You know, he was confused. How can this happen? What do you mean? But Jesus went on to say, unless a man, most assuredly I say to you, unless a man be born of the water and born of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It's an impossibility. You can't get in unless you're born again. Unless you're born from above. Born of water, he went on to say, for that which is flesh, and that which is spirit. Born naturally, you got to have your natural body. And then born of the Spirit, born again. That's how we discover and enter and get on his course, the right road, the right way that leads to life. That's what he's desiring all man to find, to discover. www.JesusChristTheLord, our righteousness, his death, burial, resurrection. Unless you're born again, you cannot see or you can't enter. He makes the impossible possible, is what Jesus was telling Nicodemus. You cannot even see it. You cannot get in unless you accept me and my death on the cross. You accept my way, my will, my word, the truth about me, the right spirit, then you're in. www.TheLordOurRighteousness. Lord Sid Canoe. Let's stand. I thought of one thing that it also applies to. You know, in our heart, sometimes the, spiritual symbolism of the scripture, as we enter into the land, we're seeking the promised land. That really, that means the promises of Jesus Christ. To enter into the promises of Jesus Christ, to gain ground, to establish ground, to possess more ground, to establish, to receive, to occupy more of the promises of God. And the land is all Jesus Christ. We're inheriting. He's our inheritance. He's our portion. He's the end. He's the life the course leads to, Jesus Christ. But, perhaps we're holding on to, as they were in the city. The ones that met starvation, disease, death, were on the wrong course, the wrong will, the wrong word, the wrong way. Holding on to something in their land. Sin. Sin is the reason why Jerusalem was judged. Sin is the reason why we will be judged. Maybe we're holding on to it. Don't want to give it up. Portion of that heart, portion of my life, a section that I want to keep, possess of my own way, my own will. And I kind of twist things, make it fit his word. We have to let it go to allow him his way, his will, and be on his according to his word, to get on the road in fullness, to meet him, to live with him, to be with him, to have an updated experience. Oh yeah, Lord bless me yesterday when I prayed to him. He manifests himself this morning when we pray. He's good. He loves us. He's not gone anywhere. The only ones, and he said, hey, if you submit to my way, my will, my word leads to life. Your life will be a prize to you. You know, even if things don't seem like they're all that, we could kind of relate this to the way things are going in Detroit, Detroit. Things are falling upside down. What are we supposed to do? Jason and I were talking about that. Here we are, man, if we had the wisdom, we could have sold our house 7 years ago. Sitting on a pile of money right now, buying houses. But not smart enough. What do you do now? A lot of people are walking away from their houses because, it's a big debt over their head. And then they just walk into a lesser payment, kind of like trading value. But that's not what God's saying. God says to us, do what's right. Righteousness. In our situation, hey, there was a siege around Jerusalem. You think it's bad here? They were eating, reduced to cannibalism in Jerusalem. Do what's right. Do what's just. And God will bless. You know, it doesn't mean, that guy there made a good decision. He came out ahead, seemingly. But to come out ahead with him is to do what's right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your way, your will, your word. And do minister by your spirit, the right spirit, to our heart. Lord, surface anything that we're holding on to, any sin that we think we know better. that we think we're higher above, that we think we're in a position that's exonerated from your word. Cause us to lay it down, Lord, at the cross. Calvary. To find you, Lord, to experience you, to be updated, blessed, filled, strengthened, ministered to. Lord, have your way. Cause us to be strong, filled with your Spirit. Anoint us, Lord, according to your plan. We commit this to you, Lord. We call on your name. Do lift us up, Lord. Bring this understanding to our computer that we can choose rightly. Do what you want this day, today, that we experience you, Lord. Have updated testimony. We praise you and thank you for your love and your presence and your power and the deliverance that you promise. In Jesus' name, amen.